Okay, do we have the recording on?
You have the recording on, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so we got everybody. Okay, we'll go ahead. I'm gonna turn on Facebook Live and we will get started. Okay, we are live. We will go ahead and call the Common Council meeting to order. It is 6:01 p.m. on Tuesday, February 9th, 2021. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. Roll call, please.
Wego.
Here.
Varga.
Here.
Reffitt.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
Romano.
Present.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on January 26th. Were there any changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. 2, 3, 4, 5. It is unanimous. Okay, next up is Jason Meyer from Passages and Easter Seals. And I'm going to give, let's see, I'm going to try this, Jason. Let's see if I can, I'm going to make you the host. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. The last time I did this, the person left and I forgot to take the host back and we had to restart the whole meeting. So I will try to remember to take back the host. So okay. Jason, go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm going to try and share my screen here. So let's hang on a sec. All right. Can everyone see a balanced scorecard there? Easter Seals Passages Agency Strategic Plan?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good, good. So, now can you still see it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, very good. Well, thanks again for letting me speak today, Mayor Daniel, and for the council. I'm admitting Chip Hill here as he's in the waiting room, so just so I let you know that. But I wanted to make everyone aware, for those of you that haven't heard, that we are merging at Passages with Easter Seals Art.
Nope. Hey, Chip, can you mute, please?
Okay. So we're merging with Easter Seals ARC, and that's going to be effective on March 1st, and we'll become Easter Seals Passages. So we are very excited about that merger. We made the announcement in mid-December, and I have a news release, which I sent Mayor Daniel, as well as this scorecard that I'll be walking through here in a minute. But gives us a lot of opportunities for the individuals we serve at Passages, a lot of new programs and services. Easter Seals ARC is out of Fort Wayne. However, we are going to still have our office at the Creative Learning Center when we become Easter Seals Passages. So our Creative Learning Center, for those of you that don't know, is located right next to the old Parkview Whitley Hospital site off of Oak Street. So that's still going to be there as well. Our direct support staff, we're excited about the opportunity it gives our staff. We've traditionally been very challenged with pay for our direct support professionals. So this merge, we've already been able to raise our wages by $1 per hour, and then we'll be doing some more wages increases on March 1st as well when this happens. So this move really prepares us for the future. As many of you on this call know, we're funded very heavily by Medicaid. So there's a lot of talk in the new administration, as you've heard, of $15 minimum wage and some other changes to the Medicaid program nationally. So we're trying to be proactive on that. It also, exciting thing for us, it still keeps our local presence. So I said we'll still have our Creative Learning Center. all of our passages, direct support professionals and individuals served will still be in the community, still have our residential homes here and everything, and I'll remain as the director, executive director of Easter Seals Passages, as well as working with some government relations and strategic partnership work with Easter Seals as well. So still excited. Our all money raised here in Willie County will stay in Willie County. We're having our 5K and 10K on April 10th at Morse's Park. We did have to push our art show that's usually in March back to October due to COVID, but we're going to be having a Easter Seals Passages art auction and our Spotlight Avenue Theater performance program going as well. So just wanted to kind of show you all here on the call. This is what we're working with Easter Seals Arc when we become Easter Seals Passages. This is for 2021. We're obviously doing a 2022 scorecard as well, but the strategic scorecard really walks through our goals as an organization focused on the customer, resource management, community, and then culture of continuous improvement. If you look there, and then we kind of break it down to different bubbles there, the differentiation of service, the values of service, supporting employment inclusion, and then you kind of can see our legs, our measures for each, and then our department level things as well. This is really cool because it starts at an organization level, and then we can drill this down to our senior directors, down to our managers, and down to our direct support staff. So a lot of neat things happening through the merger with Easter Seals ARC. So just a quick note, too, on we are also merging Whitley Crossings Neighborhood Corporation, which is our affordable housing corporation, with Brightpoint. Brightpoint, formerly known as CANI, as you know, out of Fort Wayne. Both of our employees that work with Whitley Crossings are going to be transitioning to Brightpoint employees. It's a maintenance director as well as a housing manager. Both will still have their office here in Whitley County. We still are proceeding with the rehabilitation of the Cluxton, as well as building 9 new homes over off of Oak Street at the site of Old Parkview Whitley. I know Mayor Daniel, I've talked to you about those. So again, I'd be happy to answer any questions, and I'm going to attempt to okay, so I'm having some technology challenges, but I'm going to stop sharing. Perfect. That worked. And Mayor Daniel, I think you could become the host again if you would like, but I'd still be happy to answer any questions anyone has.
Okay. All right, well, claim the host. Here we go. Okay. Questions for, let's see. There we go. Thank you. Questions Thank you. For Jason. Nothing here. Questions from council or department heads? So, Jason, just so I'm clear, obviously, a lot of changes happening in the organization. It sounds like a lot of them are for the good. Doesn't appear that, you know, individuals are moving out. The organization's not moving out. You're going to continue serving the clients that you have here in Whitley County and certainly expand kind of that level of service, the pay, things like that.
Yep.
And so you said this becomes effective when?
March 1st.
March 1st. Is that for both Passages and Whitley Crossings?
Passages for sure. Whitley Crossings might take a little longer due to the complexity of the projects.
Sure.
But if it does do that, we'll get a management agreement together or something with Brightpoint for sure.
Okay. Great. Anything else?
Not for me, unless anyone else has any other questions, and I'm reachable as always. So look forward to seeing everyone soon.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate all your efforts, and look forward to continue working with Easter Seals and certainly Brightpoint and until then, Passages and Whitley Crossings. Thanks, Jason.
All right. Thank you all. Have a good night.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thanks. Bye.
So next up is Ordinance 2021-1. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Dan for the discussion. All those in favor show by the usual sign. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. It is unanimous. Please read Ordinance Number 2021-1 by title only.
Ordinance 2021-1, vacation of public way.
This is the vacation regarding the alleyway on East Ellsworth, I believe, right?
Yeah, 605.
Yes. Yep. And you'll remember, as I talked about at the, I think, the last meeting, this is the alleyway that we've worked with, that Kelly has kind of been working on a little bit and asked us to pursue this. It's an alley that serves one resident, one residence, if you will. Talk to that resident. They are more than happy to take that over. As I mentioned the last time, we're doing some stormwater improvement in the area already. And so I know we're planning to have the public hearing, I believe, at the next meeting. Is that correct, Rosie?
Yes.
Yeah, so the public meeting will be held here for the next meeting. Questions regarding Ordinance 2021-1?
Will there be a survey applied with the legal description?
So the question from Dan was, will there be a survey with the legal description?
I have the from Walker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like a picture?
A picture?
What do you mean? Yeah. We're getting a feedback. Give me a second here.
Like this.
Perfect.
Okay. Rosie has what Dan wanted.
You want that hooked to it then? Okay.
That needs to be recorded with it, yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Can I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2021-1 on first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Walt. Second by Jennifer. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay. Next up is Ordinance 2021-2. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
I moved.
Motion by Tad, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. 2, 3, 4, 5. It is unanimous. Please read Ordinance 2021-2 by title only.
Ordinance 2021-2, City of Columbia City, Indiana, an ordinance amending the rates charges for the City of Columbia City Municipal Electric Utility.
As a reminder, this is something that we've been discussing for many meetings now, actually many years. And it's been over a decade since we've adjusted our electric rates. As mentioned at the last meeting, the council wanted to move forward with a two-phase. And so I believe that's a part of this. I don't know if Sean or Marcia, if either of you have any comments on this. I don't want to, you know, beat a dead horse here, but wanted to give you an opportunity if you have anything to say about it.
The only thing I would say is I did run this by Buzz before I even provided it to Rosie to make sure I had everything in order. And again, we're going under the two-phase, so I've used his attachments for the exhibits, but in the ordinance itself, it discusses the starting points for the two phases.
Thank you. And I should have mentioned that as you may remember, and for those that are tuning in, you can actually go back a couple of meetings. We had our rate advisor here to kind of talk through that with us. We also had the Utility Rate Advisory Board Chairman, who is a citizen, who is one of our customers, give their opinion, if you will, on this. We have followed that opinion on here. And so, Sean, was there anything else you had to say? I saw you unmuted, but I just want to...
Yeah, I just, you know, no one likes to raise rates, obviously, but I feel it's our responsibility to make sure, especially since we have left the IURC, that we put our rates in a reasonable range, that it's irresponsible to wait 12 more years to do a rate increase. So we've actually talked about... looking at this a little more frequently than once every 12 years and trying to make a more regular adjustment to our rates for the customer.
Great. Thank you. Anything from council or anything you want to talk about, mention?
Our public hearing will be next.
Yes, at the next meeting. So for the public and for everyone to understand, we do have a public hearing that will be at the next meeting.
Allow her to do that.
Hold on 1 second. Okay. Yeah, that we'll have at the next meeting. One thing I am going to ask is that if there's any way in which you can be here in person, council members, I think that would be beneficial. We are going to open up the council chambers. Because we are having multiple public hearings that night, again, one for the alley, one for the electric rate adjustment. So I would ask if you're able to be here, if you feel safe enough, we will use all the space available to spread each other out here. We should be able to use the Blue Jeans system, I'm hopeful at that point, to be able to utilize that at that point. But because we're having the public hearings, because members of the public may or may not be here, I would respectfully request that. But that is scheduled for the next meeting, which is, would you say, February
23rd.
Okay. With that, I'll ask for a motion to approve Ordinance 2021-2 on first reading. Motion by Dan. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's unanimous. We'll move that to second reading at the next meeting and the public hearing as well. Thank you. Next up is basically supporting the executive order. As you may remember, I came to you in January asking for extension of the executive order for the health and safety of our employees as well as our residents. Full disclosure, I was supposed to bring this up at the last meeting and I forgot. So I would ask for a retroactive approval of the executive order. Again, this is really... This kind of continues the Emergency Family Medical Leave Act portion that we extended the last time. Certainly, Whitley County is still in the red. I think there's a lot of hope that we will soon be moving out of there. I don't believe it's going to happen tomorrow, but I think there's a possibility we move next week potentially into the orange category and move out of red. My plan would be is that I think is it the 26th I think is the new pay period, right? The 26th of February, if we're in the orange, that we will bring everyone back to a normal work schedule. But in the interim, I would ask for approval of the executive order for until I guess midnight on February. Well, 12:01 on February 26th, I guess, is what I would request retroactively. Sorry, that was a lot of words, but can I get an approval for that?
So moved.
Thank you, Walt.
Being retroactive.
Thank you.
Okay.
Motion by Walt, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It is unanimous. Thank you. Again, I think we're all hopeful we can get back to some semblance of normal life in the near future. As I understand, the vaccines are going out pretty quickly, which is good. People are taking them when it's available. I think we're getting there. I think we're getting there. Next up is Ordinance 2021-3. Before we read that, I will ask Nathan to... jump in here and talk a little bit about this zoning ordinance and give us some kind of preface for where this is coming from and why it's important. Go ahead, Nathan.
Thank you. I'm going to keep it short because this is a really short amendment. Basically, what's being proposed is to remove the current 3,000 square foot maximum building size in the LB local business district. This came up with the Community Foundation rezoning, and it was noted that nobody was really sure why that was there or exactly how that would apply. And looking at doing a survey of the existing properties that are zoned LB, it appeared that half or more of them were actually already non-conforming. So without recreating the wheel, it felt easiest to and most appropriate just to strike out the 3,000 square foot building size or enclosed space size is how it's defined. So that's what's proposed. It passed with the Plan Commission with their favorable recommendation, and now it's to you.
Thank you, Nathan. Questions of the council or from the council? Okay, I'm not hearing any. So do I have a motion to read ordinance 2021-3 by title only?
No, ma'am.
Okay, motion by Jennifer, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's unanimous. Please read ordinance 2021-3 by title only.
Ordinance 2021-3, an ordinance amending the text of Chapter 6 of the zoning ordinance.
Again, was just discussed. Anything, any questions, comments, concerns regarding the ordinance? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve ordinance 2021-3 on first reading?
So moved.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It is unanimous. Thank you. Next up on the agenda are job descriptions. I talked to Beth this afternoon, and she wanted to just reiterate that a lot of these are just updating these job descriptions. For the most part, I think the only one that may be a little that may be new is the head swim coach, but that's because the city has kind of taken over that position, if you will. And Tad can probably fill in a little bit better than I can. But the swim team actually used to be headed by a kind of a volunteer organization. Is that right, Tad?
Yeah, there was a parent committee / board steering committee that kind of ran it before. So
gotcha. So that is really the only new job description. The other or position descriptions. The other position descriptions that are in there are really updates from the old Burnworth Pool descriptions, if you will. So with that, I'll certainly open it up for questions. We'll take them one at a time just to have that in the notes. But the Assistant Aquatic Center Manager, any questions regarding that position description? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve the Assistant Aquatic Center Manager position description as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Walt. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It is unanimous. Next up is the Aquatic Center head swim coach position description. Any questions, comments, concerns about that one?
Question?
Yes.
Is that seasonal or is that year-round?
It is seasonal.
All right. Thanks.
Yep. Any other questions? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve the Aquatic Center head swim coach position description as presented?
So moved.
Motion by Dan.
Second.
Seconded by, I'll give it to Tad because I heard him first, sorry. Any further comments? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It is unanimous. Next up is the Aquatic Center lifeguard position description. Any questions, comments, concerns about that? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve the Aquatic Center lifeguard position description?
So moved. Second.
Sorry, Jenny.
It's okay, no worries.
I think I got a motion by Tad and a second by Jenny, but I'm not 100% sure. I saw a couple people talking, so I'll give that. Motion by Tad, seconded by Jenny. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. One, two, three, four, five. It is unanimous. Thank you. Okay, so one other thing that we had had conversations about, and as you may know, Mark is was not available. I think he either is getting off a plane or maybe still on a plane coming back home. But Chip was willing to step in for him. Conversation we've had in the past certainly is about what to do with the swale that is presenting itself at the high school property. I know Mark, in collaboration with Chip, had gotten with a local contractor, Wygent, just to kind of see what the difference in price would be if we were to go with them versus the company that's already on site. So with that being said, obviously not discussing prices at this point, but I want to kind of get some information from Chip for you all to discuss whether it's something we need to be in a rush and get moving through, or whether it's something we can kind of pause. So with that, I'll turn it over to Chip.
Well, that puts me in a weird predicament because I have prices. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you all checked your email, but I included a quote from DNR Demolition and a quote from Wygent's to do the work. There was some miscommunication on what was actually being proposed at the high school property, and we've already discussed it in the other meetings and our retreat, but so we have two quotes. One has a not to exceed, which is from DNR, and the not to exceed would be $147,000. Wygent's did not put a not to exceed, but they did give a base price of, let me find it here, I'm sorry, $17,895. Their unit price for all the material is quite a bit cheaper. So I'm leaving it up to you. I know we said that if DNR was on site, they would be cheaper. Well, obviously they are not cheaper. And we have a local contractor that's ready and to go work on it. So that's my opinion.
So on that, Chip, just so I've a couple things. First of all, clarifying, this is talking about the old high school property, not the new high school property. But second, I guess my question would be, is the quote from Wygent, is that a before the school moves the topography, or is that an after, or is that it doesn't matter?
The Wygent's quote is for what the scope of the work should be. Now, I for all people involved, the mayor and I talked prior to this. I'm concerned with if the demolition company, what their whole scope of work will be, you know, and how much the school will be involved. So if they tear down walls, how much will they backfill, or will they just say, we're good? You know, if the school is going to be directly involved on this, because I feel like it's kind of a back burner project for them. I mean, I think their goal is the new high school. So what I informed Wygent's to do what the blueprint spec them to do. And so that's why they give the price of you know, $3.85 per yard extra, or $14 per yard per extra, because that's the way DNR kind of quoted it. Was DNR kind of quoted it different, that it's not to exceed this. Wygent's gave a quote of the 17,000, or we'll say 18,000, is what the blueprints say. It could go more depending on how DNR leaves the site. So it's kind of we don't know what we're getting left with, to be honest. It's a what if question.
So I see unmuted from Walt and Jenny. So Walt and then Jenny in that order, please, and then Jennifer. Go ahead, Walt.
Again, I don't think anybody's had drove by the old school location, but I think you can start seeing the ravine that we're talking about. So if you have an opportunity to drive by there, I think that visual maybe will help plug some of the gap. And that's just an evaluation.
Okay.
I think realistically we need to talk to the current contractor and see exactly what they're going to leave it at and how the situation is going to be, because they can't just assume that they're going to get the bid just because they're currently there. I'm leaning more towards going local because it's significantly cheaper, plus it's helping out a local community itself and just to keep good business in place.
Right. Jennifer.
I've said before, and I will say it again, I feel very strongly about supporting our local contractor, our local community. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of work involved in the site, and I would feel that a local contractor would, they'll have a little bit of themselves in the project, and so I'm sure that they're going to do their very best work to make it look good there, too. So I definitely am very strongly in support of a local contractor.
Thank you.
I agree. We had a meeting on site today with the demolition company, and it was kind of, I feel like they felt that they were getting the job for, you know, to continue on, because they kept on saying, well, we don't know what we're going to get into. You know, they have up to $147,000. And just from the years of experience, when you have up to $147,000, that's, you know, kind of an open paycheck. So, you know, Wygents and I have been in constant contact, and, you know, I pretty much laid it out to Wygents that you're going to continue working for the city. You know, do you want to make your bed, or do you want to continue working for the city? And I think that they know they want to continue working with the city. So, you know.
And I do think, from a broader perspective, I think really the goal of this exercise was really to focus on, is this something we want to move quickly on, or is it something that we can, you know, let DNR finish at the site and then come in and do what we want to have done? Again, keeping in mind that, you know, we had not necessarily budgeted for this piece of the project. This was something that had been brought to us as, hey, just so you know what you're going to be left with kind of scenario. So I think at the very least, this puts us in a really good position to maybe take a step back and say, okay, we don't need to rush into a decision in regards to what's going to happen there in the future. I think it gives us an ability to step back and say, okay, there's locals that can kind of do something like that. Dan has something that I've neglected him, so go ahead.
Okay. No, I was just looking at it. You know, I don't mind taking a step back. I also like the fact that Wygents are willing to take a look at this thing, but I don't think we want to let it set too long, because I think the public expects us to move on something.
Sure.
Instead of having a hole in the ground or having it look in disarray. I think we do need to move. And I do believe that, you know, I was kind of under the understanding that they were, whoever was going to fill it was going to make some just general looks of what the park was going to look like.
Sure.
I wasn't going to make it perfect, obviously,
right.
But, you know, at least the public would see that we're not going to leave it just be
a hole
in the ground.
Yeah. Well, and Chip can correct me if I'm wrong here, but the school has said that DNR will taper. So they will make it, and they will seed it, if you will, and things like that. You know, I guess the question more than anything else comes into, you know, do we want them to go into the effort of seeding and strawing and doing all the stuff that they're going to do on that site if we're going to come in, you know, shortly thereafter and move dirt already?
Right.
Or is it something that maybe we can work with the school to say, hey, whatever you were planning to do on seeding, you know, if we can work with you, or you guys can wait, or whatever that situation is. But at the end of the day, if we feel like we can go a cheaper and more local route, I think I'm getting the feeling from the council that that's certainly how we want to go, and I would concur. Walt, I see you're unmuted.
Chip, and again, thanks for staying on top of this. My question is, do you have a good feel for the scope of work where DNR is truly going to stop, and then they'll say that they met their obligation?
You know, honestly, well, I want to say that I'm confident in DNR's work, but as DNR has, I've just been meeting with them the past 2 weeks. They're a demolition company. They're not a site preservation company. They're a demolition company. And that has been made very clear to me on two occasions. And, you know, I'm sitting in a gym and I'm looking at the quotes, but, you know, they were going to hire in a company to come in. I think it might have been their own company, but to do GIS, you know, grade elevation. So would they put the grade at 4:1? I'm not confident that the grade would be fully at 4:1, you know, what the specs were left at. I have nothing against DNR, but I'm just, I don't know, you know, they're a demolition company. They're not a site work company. And so I just feel like, you know, I was looking through, and we met right after retreat. Mark called Wygents, and we had Wygents in Friday morning. And Wygents looked at some of the prints, and they had a 30-inch structure that was just going straight up and down. Wygents like, why wouldn't you put a 48-inch structure there in case there was any issue? A person could get in a 48-inch. No one can go, you know, since we're looking at safety, no person can go in a 30-inch structure. And so I'm, you know, that's $2,600. And, it, you know, safety first. I'm just looking at what we're getting with Wygent versus what we're getting with DNR. And I think the, you know, everything is, for me, is pointing to Wygent. I know Wygent right now, they flat out said, you know, we've got a little low on our work. We could get in there, get it done. And I flat out said, you know, I'm not pushing you to get it done. And they go, well, then, you know, we can work it in throughout our time frame. And so I really think we need to look at Wygent's heavy. I'm not pushing the council to make a decision, you know, on this right now, but I'm just giving you my input.
Yeah, and again, I appreciate all the effort you're putting in, and I can't disagree with anything you've said. Probably from, I'm assuming from Wygent's perspective, they'd rather have the other contractor off the job site when they come in, if that's the direction we go.
Yeah, and if I can interject one other thing, we had a great discussion today. DNR has bringing stone back in, which is just going to be the crushed concrete. And Wygents was like, why are you hauling in stone? And I said, yeah, what's wrong with gravel? And they said, exactly. And so, you know, that they priced out, you know, the fill as $14. And they said, if you want to go compactable fill, if you're wanting to build within next year, we'll go the $14, you know, a cubic yard. Or if you're wanting, you know, if depending on your timeline, we could go to $3.85 a yard, which is going to settle over time. But, you know, and they said that's a $5.20, you know, cent savings, because DNR has this concrete, you know, that they're having crushed. And they're like, well, if we can haul it back in, they're out Bowling Green. I'm sorry to say, they're here to make money. And if they're keeping their employees here for another month, you know, they're paying lodging, meals, everything, where Wygent isn't. So that's, I have nothing for Wygent, but their quote and being local is a huge attribute right now.
Ted?
Yeah, I think, you know, that makes perfect sense. You know, they can come back with a quote that's much more affordable, they're local. I mean, all the arrows point towards utilizing them for this, and, you know, there's no rush. You know, it's crazy that there's that large of a differential in the cost from, you know, the other company. So, yeah, I'm all in favor of using Wygent. And then, again, that gives us some time to think about some things, so we don't have to rush into it. So.
Jenny.
I actually didn't have any say. I don't know why it went off mute.
Okay.
I disagree with it.
Okay. Appreciate that. Okay. So So I think we're all on the same page from what I hear, and so I think what maybe the conversation, Chip, back with Mark, and I certainly am happy to actually have a meeting with him tomorrow morning so I can just follow up with him, but is that we want DNR to finish the work that they were already scheduled to finish, the tapering of the land, all that kind of stuff that they were supposed to do. I will get with the school corporation and just ask about what their kind of budget or timeline is for the seeding. Obviously, they're not going to be able to do much in the winter, but I'm assuming that in the spring, which is really only a month or two away, they're going to probably look at start getting that seeded so that they can hand it over. It makes me wonder, and I'll talk to the school corporation about, is there something we can do to effectively either be able to partner with them and maybe we take care of that after Wygence is done, or they hold off until Wygence is done and then they can go in and seed or whatever that looks like, but the logistics of that. And then in the meantime, and again, I'd say Wygence is done as if they have the contract, which we haven't decided that yet, but I think it does give us a positive, it's not $100,000+, I guess. So that's a really positive thing. And so appreciate the council's leadership in that regard. Certainly appreciate Chip and Mark and their hard work on that. And I think we're all on the same page. So we will go that route and I guess probably discuss what we want to do in the future about whether we move forward with Wygence or what. But I think at least for right now, we know that we're not in a rush to get that done now. We know we can tell DNR that they need to finish their work as they originally planned with the school, and then we can figure out next steps for us. So thank you, Council, for your leadership in that. And again, thanks, Chip and Mark, on that. Okay, before we get into department head reports, is there anything else that I'm forgetting? Because I forgot everything last time.
I think so. That's good.
Okay. Okay, so we'll go to department head reports. We're going to start with Scott, and then Mike, and then Sean.
Not much has changed over the last couple of weeks with the police department, other than JJ and Christian are head to the academy on Monday for the first day of actual in session on the ground. They finishing up their virtual, and then Braxton Madison, Officer Madison, has been moved up in status from the wait list to the alternate list. So for the next class, so if he gets bumped up into the actual class, he'll be going with Officer DeBus in the next class after Officer Branicki and Officer Baker finish up. So that would be a good thing. Other than that, there's not a lot out of the norm that's going on with the police department.
Thank you, Scott. Mike Shoda.
I really don't have anything to add other from my report that I sent.
Okay. Thank you. Sean.
Yeah, just let the council know that we're currently contesting a ruling by the IURC on a gas line strike. This is one of the things that's bothered me for several years, where the NIPSCO sponsors the IURC, so anytime we have a NIPSCO strike, they come down hard on fines and punishment. When they hit an electric line or a water line, there's generally no punishment issued. So I've been talking with the IURC on that, and working. I'm contesting their most recent ruling for us. Going to continue to fight that fight. Working with Marsha on our AEP facilities agreement for our new 69 kV conversion project. There's going to be a new demarcation point when it comes to our transmission loop from AEP. Working on getting that settled. And Angie Hildebrand and I are working with the IDEM on our fuel pump certification. Angie's been doing some training today to become a certified operator and to train some of our employees to be certified operators, which is necessary to continue to have those pumps on site. So other than that, we did install the electric service to the new wastewater station on West Ellsworth Street. I'm not sure what to call it, a lift station, but you'd have to ask Mike Cook exactly what it does. But
underground retention basin.
Okay, what he said there. Not my specialty, obviously, but other than that, just trying to keep the daily work, getting our daily work done with these split crews is proving to be a little bit difficult, but I know tomorrow we're helping the street department and as much as we can with hauling some snow. Unless you guys have any questions, that's it.
Thank you, Sean. Chip, and then Marcia. Chip? Can't hear you, buddy.
Sorry, I'm just figuring out this technology. Earlier tonight, the Board of Works approved approval with ANZ to move ahead with Westgate, which we applied for Community Crossings grant, I believe, two Fridays ago. And so we're waiting to hear from that. And we also approved a contract with ERI for the design of the trail to the new high school property. So other than that, plugging away. Any questions, let me know.
Thank you. Marcia?
Nothing.
Rosie?
Nothing.
Daniel?
Nothing, sir.
Walter?
Nothing.
Jenny?
Nothing.
Jennifer? Tad?
Just a quick update on the Cardinal Grain building that they're pushing off injecting, I don't know, whatever they inject into the ground to block the chemicals because of the weather. I think they said that, what, a couple weeks, end of February, if the, you know, weather permitting. So that's it.
Thank you. Let's see, I think I've hit everybody there. A couple things for your information. Obviously, as Ted had mentioned, we had Redevelopment Commission today. Marcia and I and Chip and Janice from the Tree Board, we are meeting and talking through ordinances and process regarding the trees. So that's still in process, and we're still trying to kind of figure that one out a little bit. Got a lot of different things happening. The chamber has the Burke's ribbon cutting happening on Thursday. So that's exciting. That'll take the spot of, I think, Gordman's. Is that right? Shake your head. Yes. Thank you, Jennifer. The radio program that I have monthly is happening this Thursday, and that would be in that will play on, I believe, Monday at 5 o'clock, I believe, on WJHS. So appreciate that. I'm going to be doing a lot of education the rest of this week. I have a lot of different Zooms and mayor's institutes and things like that. I will tell you that I had a really good phone conversation with our friends at MediaCom today. And so I'm waiting on a reply back on a couple of those things, but that went really well. And so there's some areas, especially Cambridge Crossing, that I know I've been getting some contact from some of those residents asking when they're going to expand in that area. And it appears that they're planning to do that. It's just a matter of getting to that point. So they're moving forward with that. Also, as a reminder, on Monday the 15th, City Hall will be closed for President's Day. But obviously, the Dropbox will still be open and all that kind of stuff. And just looking to see if there's anything else I need to let you know about. I don't think so. Lunch with the mayor. Oh, yeah. Lunch with the mayor on the 19th. I'm going to do it from the Van Buren Flats. And Carl Seiler, who's the Redevelopment Commission president, he will be there to talk about the RDC's role in the Van Buren Flats project. So that's kind of an interesting thing. It'll be a little bit different and certainly will be able to be viewed on Facebook Live. So. With that, if there's nothing else, we'll adjourn the council meeting, and CIP committee will probably start here in 5 or 10 minutes. I got to go print off a couple of things, but...
What's your State of the City?
Yeah, well, State of the City is March...
Oh, March, okay.
Yeah. March 5th. Yes. I read Jennifer's lips, so March 5th. So, okay? Good? Good? Okay, we'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Hey, Ryan.
Yes.
I know you're done, so I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Okay, that's fine. Thanks.
I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Sounds good. Okay. CIP will meet again in, like I said, 5 or so minutes. And Facebook Live, I'm going to keep you running so that we have public access to this. Again,